And welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. Our broadcast is coming to you live from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And it's great to be with you today, friends. Thanks so much for being with us, taking the time out of your schedules to join us. We've got a good program in store for you today. If you've been tuning in throughout this week's broadcast, you know that we've been talking about ancient words that for a modern world today. And today's word that we're going to focus on is glory, the glory that belongs to God, the glory that he shares with us as his children. So we're looking forward to a great broadcast today. A quick reminder for our listeners, if you'd like to weigh in, share your thoughts with us, they're always welcome. Just go to the chat and share what's on your heart and mind regarding our theme today. And if you have questions, you can pose those questions to us there as well. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today on this Thursday, Pastor Tom Schaller will be your hosts for the next 40 minutes or so. So we encourage you to stay with us and enjoy and help us to develop our theme together today. Pastor Schaller, this subject, this word that we've been given on our broadcast today, glory, when you stop and think about it, it can be a little bit difficult to try to define.
Yeah,
because I guess by trying to define the word, we're almost trying to define God, which is a bit of a challenge, isn't it?
Yes.
How do you do that?
Yeah. I can give it a try.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. When we think of the glory of a thing, we think of its value or its worth, or that thing that makes it particularly unique. It is a religious word, but actually we could more humanize it if we understood that many things have glory. Many things, you know. Of course, God is not a thing. He's an immaterial spirit who is a person. And the highest, the God Almighty, what a honor that we can even talk about him. When we come down to our life and what we see, you know, like, let's say, what is the glory, use that sentence, what is the glory of a bird? It might be its coloring, it might be its wingspan. What's the glory of a fish, you know? It might be its strength, its longevity, its appearance, a beast like a bear or an elephant. What's the glory of that thing? So when you think of the meaning of the word, that it has its value, and the Hebrew word is actually means weight. And we use that in English sometimes we say gravity, the gravity of a case or the weight of a case, or that really it's solid, or that thing is weighty. You know, that's a weighty matter, a weighty issue of importance. So with that kind of understanding, we kind of are circling around something that is extremely high, very important and very profound. And the Lord actually said it in a negative by saying, don't make any image of me, of anything in the sky or on the earth or under the earth, because it would not capture, you know, the person of God. That God is transcending all material things, and that he is, you know, very weighty, very valuable, I mean, infinitely so. So there we have a general idea. Do you want to comment on any of that, Pastor?
Yeah, you mentioned about, you know, glory to God in the highest realm. That was the message, the angelic message to the shepherds, and for the announcement of the birth of Christ. I mean, that's kind of a fascinating statement. We're familiar with the glory of God, but they didn't just say the glory of God. They said glory to God in the highest, because of what they were announcing, that God himself had stepped into the human race, almost as if he had stepped down from his glorious throne and was now becoming like a human being. We know the whole purpose behind that was to redeem mankind and to shed his blood for the forgiveness of their sins. And that's just, when I think of God's glory, it's almost like it's the sum of all things. It's the goal of everything is to glorify God. And we were speaking earlier before the broadcast began, how when I'm overwhelmed with who God is and what he's done, without even thinking about it, the thought that comes to my mind, the words that I say are just simply glory to God, because it is because of him. It's because of who he is. It's the sum total of all of his attributes, holiness, love, mercy, grace, forgiveness. That list of attributes could just seemingly go on forever. And I think the most amazing part of it all is that we know that about God. We can not in full measure. It's almost like we're seeing through a glass darkly. But we can understand some of that, and to be able to understand just some of God's glory is just a great, great blessing in our lives.
Yeah.
Really?
It is. It is. Yes. When people, another like a human picture of it is people and celebrityism. Celebrityism, when you want to have a hero or somebody that you really look up to. Maybe that's department in it. Another one is just a lot of respect, maybe for a historical figure like Abraham Lincoln, for example, and who he was and what he did. And, you know, you actually feel the respect for somebody who has done something admirable. Okay, so these are all human pictures, you know, a great white shark, you know, in the Atlantic Ocean. It has a degree of glory, right? So, like, human beings are drawn to, like, find the value in a thing or respect it for its strength or intelligence or its power or something like that. It's kind of built in us. But we also worship even, I mean, that's a strong word, but reverence for or respect for material things. Like people put a lot of value on property, owning property, on people that own property, on money, on accomplishments, and so on. So in a way, man is glorified by men and respected and loved by them, and maybe even worshiped. But this is so, the principle is the same. The principle is, Where do I find that person that is worthy of the worship of creation?
Yeah.
And Romans 8 says that the creature is groaning and actually waiting for the higher thing, you know, the higher person, you know, for the manifestation of God to be who he is, to make himself known to us more. And that we will actually be in that state actually perpetually, like with this love and respect because of the enlightened mind.
Yeah, well said. I mean, you can go to, for instance, and you mentioned him, Abraham Lincoln, you can go to the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, And there's a measure of glory there. There's a measure of respect mm-hmm. in your heart. You can stand at the edge of Niagara Falls and you can just, I could stand there for hours and just be mesmerized by it. It's just water flowing from a river over into another, river, but it's glorious. There's a measure of glory there. But it also does something to our hearts. It says, it makes us beg the question, is there more? Is there something behind this? Is there something, is there a greater glory? And of course, there is. So for someone to simply settle for, you know, worshiping Mother Nature, you miss the mark.
Yeah.
You're selling yourself short. There's so much more. There is the God who created it, you know, and they reveal the heavens and the earth. They reveal his handiwork. And then, as the angelic announcement was, it's almost like the angel was saying, if you think creation was something, think about this.
Yeah.
This brings glory to God in the highest, because that very God who created the world that you live in is coming into that world to save you and to deliver you from sin and Satan and death.
Mm. Yeah. And then when the Lord was telling Moses, you know, that you are my friend, you have found grace. Let me read it. 33:17. In the book of Exodus, the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. So two things the Lord said, you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And then he said, I beseech you, show me thy glory. That was quite a prayer, maybe one of the greatest prayers that could be prayed. You know, show me your glory. I am drawn to you, God. I am drawn to you in a personal way. There is nothing more important to me than who you are. And if I could see more of who you are and the weight, the weightiness of who you are, the value of who you are, then you can go through anything.
That's right.
And I think he had to. You know, he had to have a very deep personal spiritual life with God, because he had so many problems on the outside. So he had problems on the outside, but he had a very real relationship with God on the inside.
Yeah, it seems to me that if you reach that place in your life where that's what you want from God, you've really kind of broken through a maturity barrier. Because I think if I were in Moses' sandals, I would have said, all right, you said I could ask anything. Beam me and the 2 million people with me to the promised land. No wilderness, no wandering, no backsliding, no unbelief, no failure. Just get us there in a moment. But that's not what he asked for. There was something in his heart that says, you know what, if you're giving me this opportunity to ask for anything, I want to ask for the most glorious thing I could ask for. Show me who you are. Show me your glory. Show me the essence of your character and your nature.
Yeah, because in verse 12, Moses said unto the Lord, see, you sayest unto me, bring up this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Here it is. The Lord said to Moses, take these people and lead them. And Moses is saying, yeah, but you haven't told me who you will send with me to help me on that. And then the Lord is saying, but you are my friend, and I know you by name, and my presence will go with you. And then Moses goes, show me your glory. So we could say that in any trial. Would you like to comment on that, Pastor?
Absolutely. Whatever you mentioned it with an understanding of God's glory, even just a glimpse of it, it would be enough to carry us through anything that we face in life.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be sickness, illness. It yeah. could be a financial struggle. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be so many different things. You could be out of work. You know, you might have just gotten a pink slip. Just so many different things potentially could happen. And yet, if you have a revelation of the glory of God, what a difference that can make in your life. That will get you through anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because God would follow that up by asking a question to us. And that question would be, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Mm. And we know the answer to that. No, there isn't.
Mm.
There isn't.
Yeah.
And that glory, that understanding of God's glory will carry us through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the who saw it? Well, Isaiah, apparently in the year that King Uzziah died. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah, Isaiah, the sixth chapter. And it's interesting because, you know, the angelic beings cried out, holy, holy, holy. And it's almost as if that holiness is just that wonderful expression of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just impeccable, perfect holiness, no darkness, no sin, no, you know, misjudgments with God. He got a revelation of it, and it's almost as if the comfort of that was Isaiah. Yeah, you know, King Uzziah is gone. The man has been removed, but God hasn't changed.
Yeah,
he's still on the throne.
Mm.
It's going to be all right. You're going to make it. Your nation will survive.
Mm. Wow.
The glory of God is enough.
Yes, yes. And, you know, another story is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and he said, didn't I say that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So where did you see there? Just an absolute miracle of a man who had been dead 4 days. I mean, 4 days is almost as if the time frame had some value to it, that the body had already started to decay. It was already, you know, smelling and then this amazing miracle. Mm. So as we were saying, the value of God, the weight of God, the actual uniqueness of God is seen, and what he's raised from the dead. It's like, what? How did that happen? How could that that happened? Then you're speechless.
Mm. And how about when Jesus took those three disciples, Peter, James, and John, up to the high mountain by themselves and was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, his clothes became white as light. And then Moses and Elijah appeared with him speaking. They got a glimpse of the glory of God. And that was the glory that Christ possessed. It wasn't as though any glory came down and, you know, descended upon him. It was the glory that he actually possessed.
Yeah.
And he kind of pulled back the veil of his flesh, so to speak, and gave those three disciples a glimpse of that great glory. And they were eyewitnesses of it. And they talked about it when they wrote their respective letters and gospels. They said we were eyewitnesses of his glory.
Mm.
And there's no turning back when you are an eyewitness of his glory. There's no turning back when God gives you a glimpse of that glory. Maybe it was the moment of our salvation. Maybe it was sometime after that. Maybe it's something progressive that is happening in our lives, that we just continually, consistently see the glory of God. But it changes us.
It does. It does. So let's think about, there's a Psalm 4, and the Lord, this is a very good psalm. I remember Dr. Stevens preached a message on it years ago. I love my Bible college education. It was so, our training, Pastor Love, like where we are right now, what we're doing, it's because we were trained and taught these things. I just have a lot of respect for that. And to, I mean, how many people know Psalm 4? You know what I mean?
Right.
How many people, like, can casually just say, yeah, I know what Psalm 4 is saying?
Wow.
I mean, that's that we have this education is, like, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So here it is. Hear me when I call, God, of my righteousness. You have enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Now, here it is. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? What does that mean?
That it's possible.
People take the glory of God, something of great value, and then we bring it to some inferior orientation. You know, we take the name of God, the nature of God, and we bring it and make it like an idol, or bring it to some inferior, like very small thing, into shame. I mean, there are people that don't have a very good concept of God, and they may use his name, but do they know him? Do they know what they're talking about? Do they have an inbuilt in their heart an understanding of the glory of God? But no, it's been reduced to a rock or a house or a car or a woman or a gambling casino. It's reduced to vanity. It's reduced to something small. And that happens with us as people. Actually, in the religion, in the Jewish religion, when they were practicing their religion, they actually took valuable things and valuable teaching and valuable history, and they missed it. And when Jesus came, he was misunderstood because their level of understanding was very small, and they turned the glory of God into something shameful.
Yeah, it's exactly what the Apostle Paul said when he was talking about, you know, the heathen world. He said, when they knew God, they claimed to be so wise, but then they became fools, and they exchanged. It says that.
Yeah.
They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, and creeping things. There it is.
Yeah,
it's the same as Psalm 4 says.
That's the same. It's the same. Yeah.
It's amazing.
There it is.
But that's what man will do when he rejects the knowledge of God in his life.
Yeah. And I see it in my life, you might say, as Christians that have learned a lot of things and grown and everything, still my sin nature relapses into like a very small concept of God. You know, even the idea of, you know, I am guilty, I need to pay for my sin, or I am guilty or ashamed, I need to cover myself with fig leaves. So all of these dynamics that happen in the sin nature, they don't leave us. They are the result of our sin nature. So we need to be aware of that and then recalibrate in faith and believe that God is bigger than my sin. It says in 1 John 3, if my heart condemns me, God is greater than my heart. So my concept of God, I need to always, like, in a way, have it stretched out as it collapses from my flesh and my mind of flesh, you know, my sinful nature, you know, God becomes like something small and shameful. Like the Lord is saying, that's not me. That's not me. You don't know me. That's not me. I'm not that. Wow. But I am this, you know. Mm. So then stretching out your understanding of God and his attributes and his character and his nature, you know.
Amen.
He's much more truthful than you realize, and he's much more gracious than you yeah, realize.
Yeah. I had in my mind, I was just imagining gathering together with my siblings, my immediate family, and just having a conversation with them and starting it out by saying, do you know what God is like? And because this is what I know. They don't know what he's like. Because if you knew what he was like, you'd worship him.
Right.
You would want to draw near to him. You would want to live in his presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I want to have that conversation before I check out of this world.
Yeah.
I want them to know that I'm not a religious person.
Yeah.
I haven't followed cunningly devised fables, but I've been in a relationship with the God who forgives, loves, gives more grace, and, you know, wanted to bring me into his kingdom forever.
Mm.
Because if you miss that, you really miss out in life.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many countries you travel to and what sites you see. It doesn't matter how much money you make or how successful you are in this world. You know, your achievements, your diplomas, your accolades, your portfolios, none of that matters. The only thing that matters is, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? That's the question that has to be answered.
Wow.
By every human being.
Yes. Yes. Wow. That's amazing.
Mm.
Yeah. Exactly the reason why people they don't want to live subject to God because they don't know him.
Mm.
I thought you were a hard taskmaster.
Mm.
Matthew 25, Luke 19, I bury my talent, or Isaiah, Psalm 53, Romans 3, like I don't know you, I don't understand you, I don't seek for you. All of these, really the nature of man, right? Mm. And we see it on the news, and we see it every day in the world that we are living in. Isn't it amazing?
It is.
And God is the whole point of life and the answer for every human being. But we seek, it says here in verse 2, I don't know if you have which translation you have, but it says, and they seek after leasing. They love vanity. You turn my glory into shame. You love vanity and seek after leasing.
Mm.
Which I understood means another word for vanity. Which translation do you have there?
I think I have the ESV.
Oh, good.
And what you were reading from?
Verse 2.
Verse 2, yeah. O men, how long shall you honor, or shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord hears when I call to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people live like a miserable life, and they want, they just are stuck there, and maybe they know that, but they are okay to live that way.
Mm.
And the Lord is saying, how long will you, what could I do to get you to come to me?
Wow.
And have a better life? You will have a better life with me. Because that's who I am, but you don't know me, and actually you seek after the lies, you seek after the emptiness, you seek after the foolishness, and we really do in our sin nature. I mean, I've felt that in my heart that I think there are people that are depressed and they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that have addictions and they want to have those addictions. Mm-hmm. There are people that live in lies and lying, and they want to live like that. So, and the Lord is crying out and saying, like, you are forfeiting the knowledge of me. And if you saw me and knew who I am, then you would be incredibly affected by it, impacted.
Wow. This glory that Moses wanted to see, he asked God to show it to him. We have the opportunity, along with Moses, for that glory to be revealed to us and in us. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he talked about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's great freedom. And he said, and we all with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, changed into that same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What was once only available to Moses is now available to everyone that comes to God by faith and has the opportunity to have that glory revealed through their lives. And it is something, there's something to be said about it. I don't know if this has been your experience, Pastor Schaller, but when you meet certain people and you can just see from their countenance that something is different about their lives. And in a lot of instances, I've just simply asked them, are you a believer?
Yeah, right.
And they will respond with a smile and say, yes, I am. How did you know? Because there's a measure of glory that just seems to appear from their countenance,
yeah,
or perhaps from their words or their kindness. Or, I'm not saying that everyone that's kind is a Christian, but we can go from glory to glory and experience one degree of glory to another degree of glory by the Spirit of God.
Yeah, okay. So maybe another way of saying it, there's a couple aspects. One is when somebody gets saved and their life is really changed and you hear about it, it happened with Paul. The Apostle Paul said, and they glorified God in me. Mm. So when a very bad man who breathes out threatenings and slaughter and has his goal to crush the Christian movement by destroying them, when he is converted, when he comes to Christ and he believes in Christ, and his life is really changed from the inside out, then the people hearing about it, you know, as we read in the scriptures, they were leery of it. They didn't really trust it. But finally, you know, they were persuaded and they go, wow, God did that. God did that. That only God could do that. God. So they glorify God for what God did with them.
Amazing.
Yeah. Then the second thing is, like you said, after when he lives just a Spirit-filled life, and if you were to meet him, you know, he's a tent maker, but he's patient and kind, and he's talking to you and so on. And you may recognize the Spirit he has. You may discern it, the conversation, you know, the direction of the conversation. You know, what is he talking about? What does he say? And then you just, again, It glorifies God. Mm-hmm. How you live, how you speak, how you are quiet, how you have focus, you know, again. And then the third one is, what one day our bodies will be raised up out of the earth. Our body will be raised up by the power of God. In Philippians 3, in verse 21, let me read it. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So there's deteriorated material in the biosphere that have come from the bodies of dead Christians. But those bodies will be raised up, for God knows our DNA. And we will be raised, our bodies will be the evidence of his resurrection, and they will glorify God.
Amen. And the glory of God gives us such hope, because Paul wrote in to the Romans, and he said in chapter 8, verse 18, he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time will not, they won't even be worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us."
Yeah.
That to me is a promise that no matter what you may go through, or whether it's you're going through it now or you're going to go through it in the future, when you compare that to the glory that's going to be revealed in us, and perhaps in some measure in this life, but certainly when we're in God's presence, there's no comparison.
Right, right. Now, if we go to the very negative direction of somebody that appears to have some value but are going to be like chaff which the wind drives away, that's in Psalm 1, where we read about the wicked are as chaff which the wind drives away. Let me read it. "Therefore, the ungodly are not so, like the blessed man of God who meditates. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." So, you know, like, let's say Al Capone, a mafia boss in Chicago, had his reign, his operation, and then he dies of a stroke, and he's dead as a young 42 or 44, whatever it was, not in old age, but in midlife, and the glory is gone. Mm. But the glory that he had wasn't really a glory at all. It was a vanity and lies, and just like any of us, I'm not passing a judgment. I'm making an observation regarding the scripture and the life of this man. And you can go through history and find, if a man doesn't have Christ, then what glory does he have? Where does his life end up? In shame, in emptiness, in lies, and actually nothing. There's actually nothing that remains. So he will one day come before God in the great white throne judgment and be cast into the lake of fire in Revelation in chapter 20 and verse 15. So that's a lot of reason to get serious about this subject. Like, do I want to believe in the living God? Who is he? Will he actually come into my life, and will he actually allow me to be a partaker of his kingdom, the truth, his glory, his person, and his purpose?
Wow. Amen. Jeremiah, he said, and he's quoting, he says, God said this, "Don't let the wise man glory in his wisdom. Don't let the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. But if you're going to glory, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness on the earth. These are the things that I delight in, says the Lord." So there's this prohibition that God gives to mankind, and he says, as much as you're tempted to do it, don't do it. Don't glory in any of these things. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that the culture and that the world values so greatly.
Oh, yeah.
And God says, no, if you're going to glory, glory in this, that you know me.
Mm.
And that's why this is a glorious broadcast today, because we're glorying in the fact that we know him.
Yes, yes, very good. Yeah, very good. And one of the things about the glory is the holiness. You said that earlier, and I have a verse here from Jeremiah 15:19. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if you return, then will I bring you again, and you shall stand before me. You shall stand before me. And if you take the precious from the vial, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. I like this word to Jeremiah that you if you're going to speak for me, you cannot be common. You have to separate the precious from the unclean. You can't speak as others. You have to be like through the furnace and separate the precious from the vile.
Mm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, we're just about out of time today, but it's been a great subject to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's immense. It's weighty. I don't think that there is a more weighty matter that we could discuss than outside of the glory of God. But I'm just so grateful that we get a chance to glorify God through the broadcast, through assembling together, through worship, and meeting together with believers here and around the globe. That really is what's glorious about life, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. We enjoy it. We've gone through a couple tough weeks in the country, and also some of our church members have passed on. And we are face to face with reality every day. We just had also all of these shootings that have happened in our country, and we it's all the more reason to be serious about this subject. And that is, let's look to God. Christ will show you the glory of God.
Amen.
Christ will lead you in it. Christ is the glory of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And as you are, come to him by faith. Just come as you are and say to Jesus, and then repent from your way. Like, be serious about coming to him and believe him and trust him and put high priority on him. Do it. High priority on him. Nothing is more important, and he will show you.
Amen. Well, friends, thanks so much for joining us for today's Grace Hour broadcast. A reminder that we do have one final broadcast for the week coming up tomorrow, and we hope you will tune in then. Until tomorrow at the same time, may God bless you and just continue to walk by faith so that your lives can reflect the great glory of God.
And Josephine Wright, thank you for your comments on the chat here. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Amen.